Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand.
All right, guys, the most important question of all time. Where were you when you found out that Joe Biden had dropped out of the race?
Maddie, I can tell you mine. I have a good one. I was at my 90 plus person family reunion.
Conservative uncles included.
You know, actually, this is my side of the family that's really not conservative or openly conservative. I have a couple who are like fiscally conservative, but like not the MAGA folks. That's my mom's side. Sorry to call it my mom. No, I was literally winning my family pickleball tournament. I was the champion. And when I tell you that, like, I have legitimate professional pickleball players in my family, like, they're so good. And I ended up winning with, like, my little cousin, who he's, like, 12 or 13.
Stop it.
And we won the whole thing. And I was like, stop. And then I come off the court, I check my phone, and I get the news. And, you know, I was anticipating it to come out on Sunday. So it wasn't like a full like, whoa, slap in the face, just got hit by a truck feeling. But
yeah,
that's where I was. I'll never forget it.
Well, first of all, mazel on the win. We fucking love that. That goes to our entire montage of points of that pickleball is for all ages and all situations. We also just have a champion in our midst. And so everyone, please sign to Maddie's DMs. Give her a little claps, maybe a little those trophy emojis. We'll know that's you will listen to the episode and that's important. That's important. I will say this because I know I also, you know, where was I, right? I was in Malibu, okay? And I was just trying to be a little Malibu mom sans kids, right? So trying to be better about also like not being on my phone so much because like what we do can like literally just be a suck to the face of like phone time.
Soul.
To right? The soul. Like exactly. To a T. So I actually had my phone turned over, right? And for once in my life, I turn it and I don't even remember what I think I just grabbed it because we were moving tables. And I literally just look, I have 5,000 notifications. Like, what could possibly be going on? And then some of them were like, you know, actually like on top, you know, where they're like saying what it is, not just like the text that I was getting about it. The scream I scrumped.
I feel like it's like, it hasn't really hit me yet. Like, it's weird because it's hit me in the way that like just, it's a completely new world. Like today is a new day and it feels so good. And things have been so busy, but they were like grim and busy. And you're just fucking like chugging through mud, trying to get through every day.
Yeah.
And now it's like so busy, but like energizing and exciting and inspiring. So that definitely is felt. But just like the magnitude of the situation of like the historic moment, I feel like it hasn't fully sunk in.
No.
So it's crazy. It's wild.
However, I do remember what hope feels like. Like it literally is like having that emotion. And I was like, what is this? Can't quite identify with it.
Where has
what
she
is this?
Been?
Like so much excitement. Like I honestly, every time I watch a Kamala clip at this point, I mean, kind of always because, you know, but like seriously, any of the new ones, the old ones, I'm like beyond words. I'm so
excited.
And I
want to talk about that because I feel as though, you know, there's always just been this annoying narrative around Kamala of like, you know, nobody knows what she's done. Nobody likes her. Nobody can point to why. And it's just like when you don't see her, like, sure, you can probably come up with all these internally misogynistic and racist feelings about her that you can't really like point to why you don't like her, which like if you are one of those, take a step back. And if you can't name off legitimate reasons why you don't like her, it's like red flag number one to like start critically thinking and be like, huh, let me think deeper of why I feel this way. And second, like if you then go do some research, which also if you don't like someone or something, you should be able to rattle off reasons immediately why you don't like them. But you need to go do the research and find out why you don't like someone, and you're struggling to find those answers, then again, look deeper. But the thing is she just hasn't been seen. She hasn't been put out there. And if you go watch her speech today, which I haven't yet, but I hear is amazing, her speech to campaign headquarters, and just really any speech that she's done as vice president and prior, she is extremely articulate. She's so smart. She's glowing. She's gorgeous. She's all of the things. And to be honest, like, I can't find anything that I blatantly don't like about her. But at the same time, there's no perfect candidate. There's no perfect person. And I'm sure there are things that you can pinpoint to that maybe aren't great, but we're not looking for our Valentine, remember? We're looking for...
It's not February, people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even if it were, like, we're so... That's just not the vibe. It's not the mentality. It's not it. And quite honestly, I think everyone has hopped on, at least in, like, the creator train of, like, talking about what she'd actually done, what her vibe is, trying to dismiss these narratives. I think it's just so visible, and also the insane campaign fundraising that we had. I mean, she broke records, literally 24-hour record. I genuinely was like happy crying. I was like, this is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually happening. And that, like,
and that is a really legitimate stat and metric that, like, can just really show you, like, what this energy is, and, like, put it in a bottle and be like, yeah, it's not just like anecdotal. It's not just what your algorithm's feeding you. Like, this is fucking real. This is real energy. And I'm so excited to see how it continues to play out.
Yeah.
For the days and weeks coming.
And I have to say, not to, like, obviously algorithms will algorithm, but, like, ours, it's like, even like so many people that, like, aren't traditionally, like, political on TikTok necessarily, that are all about this fucking coconut chund, and they're mm-hmm. jumping on, and they're like, oh my God, Kamala is brat. Like, it shows me too, where it's like, okay, no, people are amped outside of our little bubble of politics. Like,
yeah,
the energy is, like, very contagious, and it really is, like, because so much bigger online, than, like, how we...
Yeah, online narratives, online chatter is so fucking real. And, like, we talked about this so much in 2022 because, you know, like, the red wave, like, CNN, everyone, red wave in the midterms. And we are like, we're online and we can see and feel the energy of young people and women and everyone who is pissed that our rights got taken away and are going to show out to vote. Like, that online world is real and the energy is real. And I think that's just so important, because in cultural trends like this, even if they're silly, like the coconut tree or brat summer or whatever, those trends are real. Those are real cultural moments. It gives people this, like, permission structure to start to tap into politics and be like, oh, like, why is Kamala Harris going viral? Let me see. Oh, she's our new candidate. And then she becomes this, like, cool trend and fad that then they maybe are like, oh, maybe I'm a part of the K-Hive. Let me go see what her policies are. Like, these, it's just so important that, like, people recognize how impactful these movements, cultural movements and trends are, no matter how, like, silly and funny they can be. It's really exciting to see, like, she's truly, like, a mainstream candidate. She's it. She's our girl.
No, totally. And a few other things on that. One, to that point, first of all, I, like, love sort of the term, like, permission structure, because I think that's, like, what we try and do too, and, like, what we create. Like, it's so much that. It's, like, the mixture of, like, lifestyle and, like, trends and things that maybe you would think would connect with, like, the world of politics, and then, like, putting it, like, on a plate for you to be like, hey, like, I can, like, hop into that and actually digest that and understand it. Exactly.
Rebranding politics.
You know, just doing our Amrish Goths. But I did look yesterday. I remember, hold on. Actually, let me just re-say this a little bit clearer. Previously, the Biden-Harris TikTok campaign account had about 550,000 followers. And then yesterday evening, I'll have to check what it is now, I looked and it was over 800,000. So they gained in literally 36 hours, like, over 300,000 people, which to me also feels like 300,000 people that were tuned out of politics, that were, like, exhausted. And now they're like, excuse me, let me drive my car to the parking lot and set up shop because we got this. And I feel like we can do this. Like, that's what I feel like very, very distinctly. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we're running against wackadoodle McCrazy Pants, and we have prosecutor queen, absolutely slay the house down boots and hilarious When I tell you, I have watched the clip of her and her sister doing the, have you seen the general skit? It's not even a skit. It's just no. Like a conversation. Oh my God. It's so cute. But it was just like, she's just such a real fucking person and people like don't see that. And I'm just so glad, honestly, with like the coconut trend and all that, like that came out of, ironically enough, Republicans trying to clip that forever ago and like make a whole Mitri Goss. And meanwhile, she's fucking relatable queen. The Venn diagrams. Yeah. I'm like, and honestly, I do love a Venn diagram.
Yeah. To be honest, like the coconut tree quote, I think I want to get a tattooed. Like it truly is going to be the North Star of my entire life and like my life's journey. But no, I mean, it's crazy. And yeah, the Kamala HQ, like I'm just so excited to see how that continues to grow and what they do with it. That feminine nomenon, like the Chapel Ronan of it all, like they're doing it all. And I think that video has like over 20 million views, which is fucking crazy and so cool. But yeah, I think, again, back to the permission structure, it does that for so many things. Like it does it for obviously like voters and non-political people to tap in and be like, what's going on? I want to be a part of this. It also does it for like influencers who want to use their platforms, celebrities who have been like scared to use their platform for this election. Like it's just exciting to see what's going to come from this and how we can keep this momentum moving. Cause I think the like cultural piece of it is so important. And we didn't have that with Joe Biden of like being able to kind of like make him cool, make him mainstream, make him exciting to people and beyond just a policy level. So I just think that's so important. And Kamala is such a great vehicle to like get people engaged who aren't typically, which is what we need this year. So
totally. And I'm so glad listen, I mean, obviously the power.
Let's talk about Joe Biden.
Because you know what? Like, God bless him too, right? Like,
no, truly. Let's talk about it. I am seriously so grateful for him.
No, I was listening. So, you know, I love.
And it's bittersweet.
It is. But I love the Today Show, specifically Hoda and Jenna Bush Hager, whatever. I can't get names right. And she was talking about how she saw like a tweet that like Naomi Biden had put out there and just being like, I'm so proud of my pop, like that kind of context. And it was like her point was remembering that like these people are human too. Like how hard it has to be of like someone that's like this accomplished and done all these things and not really properly gotten even some of the credit for it. And he's like, you know, actually passing that torch, like that also too, is going to have such a ripple effect across the political spectrum in the coming years of that actual ability to be like, no, we have to pass this torch. Like him doing that to me, I feel like has like, again, it's another permission structure, right? Like it came from the top. So it's like, okay, we've done it. So why can't we do it again? You know what I'm saying?
For like, sure. That's so true.
Yeah. But I think
I love the precedent that it set for our party and for just like, because it's not just on the presidential level. Obviously, we have this issue with age in the Senate and in the House. And so I'm excited to see that precedent be set of like, we can do better. Like we can pass the torch and we can like keep momentum building and get people, more people engaged, more people involved. Because people want to see their representatives look like them. And I think that's just such an important piece. And yeah, I mean, I just like career crowning act of statesmanship from Joe Biden. And I know it took a while and some convincing, which it should have. It's a huge fucking decision. And honestly, like I'm not mad at him for like taking the time to really weigh out like the pros and cons of it all, to hear from people, not just big donors, not just Democratic Party leaders, but like people. And like when we saw that validated with like the grassroots donations that Kamala then got, it's like, I hope that feels good for him to like know that he listened, he did this, and like he created this new energy that like everyone needed, this hope that everyone needed, and I hope ultimately a win in November.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shape them so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Well, two things at that point. One, like campaign headquarters, she was doing a speech and Joe Biden was on it. And I think Doug had introduced her and like Joe was on the phone and he was like, love you, kid. I was literally like bawling. I was like, this is so cute, but this is such the right message.
Yeah.
And, like, the role model element of it. I was like, this is.
And he's going to be there on the campaign trail with her.
For sure.
And which is so crucial. And I also like finishing out his term, continuing to like focus on the job, I think is going to be great. And yeah, I think just like overwhelming positives. Obviously, this is like uncharted territory. So like people being anxious about what it means and what could happen. It's fair, but it's also just like we can't be scared to do innovative, different shit. And that's what has been so frustrating with the party forever for me. And I know for both of us, it's just like the status quo and how they're so afraid to innovate and do anything different. And this is like such a huge step to doing that. We've been in unprecedented times. So
it's like, let's do unprecedented in an innovative way. Like not like a bullshit way.
Solutions.
And I honestly, the thing that made me more anxious, especially now having the two options to compare, two paths in a sense, like Biden on the ticket was making me incredibly nervous and incredibly anxious. Kamala at the top of the ticket and just the response. I'm going to sleep like a fucking baby and I'm amped. Okay.
Yeah. And again, back to doing the work.
24 hours.
Yeah, back to doing the work. It makes it exciting. Like, this is how it should be. Presidential elections should be exciting. It's like a new page we're turning. And we just haven't had that this cycle. And I'm excited that we do now.
I was looking. So Rachel Gianfranza is a reporter that focuses on like Gen Z and politics. And she had been doing some polling and stuff on her story. One of the reactions apparently she was getting from like some of the conversations was that Gen Z, especially younger Gen Z, feels like this is their Obama moment, like this moment, this momentum. And I was like, that's so interesting because like even to, I'm trying to think like how old were we Obama's first term?
It was 2008.
So middle school.
He was running 2007. So I was...
Were you elementary?
I was 11. I was probably like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Yeah. Oh my God. So we were really babies. So like we kind of missed that moment too.
For sure.
So like I feel like I know what that means of like the feeling of the Obama momentum, but I still think we were like a little bit cusp beyond to like really grasp like what the potential of that is and could
be. Yeah. I never got to vote for Obama even in a second term. So
I'm trying to think
you
what
would
have been.
Mine was like my entry into like voting and being a voter was the midterms before Obama left office. And then the presidential was like my first presidential was Trump Hillary, which was just like the start of some daunting years. And like how also Gen Z has experienced this like Trump era. And so, it's really hopefully an inspiring time for people to be more excited about a candidate than they ever have been. So... It's good. It's good shit.
It is good shit. I'm so fucking excited. And then the other thing I'm excited for and so curious is like essentially the Veep stakes, right? Like who is going to be the pick? And obviously we've had like certain people that we've been flagging, thinking about like if this were to happen, like who would that be? And you know who I think is like such the like one I haven't thought of till maybe about 2 weeks ago and now has come out swinging in terms of amazing press moments and interviews.
Share?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I saw him last night on CNN on my flight home. And he did good.
Oh, so you had TVs on your flight?
You didn't?
No.
I didn't have TVs. I had to watch it on my phone, like streaming Wi-Fi bullshit.
Okay, fine.
But, I mean, it's so funny too. Like CNN had like their graphic of all of the potential VP picks and it's just like white man. There's literally not one demo that is not that. Which is fine. That's like kind of as expected. Of like, let's balance it out just because we don't know where America's at. So, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting. Gotta like stick with a governor or something or a cabinet member because we can't lose a Senate seat or even a House seat. So Midwestern white governor. It is.
Because also asterisk note, because a lot of people have been talking about Newsom constitutionally. Can't happen. So besides that, I don't think Newsom would be down for a VP role.
We also
like,
just
we
can't
have two California.
They'll just shit on California, which is
it's a whole thing.
My trigger.
Oh, so I shouldn't complain about California. No.
LA. You can complain about LA all you want. I don't LA.
I had the funniest experience with this, probably like, whatever. We were walking in WeHo, and it was like me, one of my girlfriends, one of my guy friends, and these like two like hooligans, literally, like, I think the person that reacted was the LA person, and my friend and I just like, you know, people just didn't even read. Literally, this guy just stood in front of us and was like, "Get me your phones or I'll kill you." And we just like kept walking by him, like totally unfazed. Meanwhile, like LA guy was like, I was like, this is funny. But overall, California, we stand, we love, and there's some very interesting policy. And you know what? You know who else is from California, or actually isn't from California, but is running California because he lives there, is Will Rollins, who we had on the show, who is running literally neck and neck with a incumbent Republican that's been in office longer than both Maddie and I have been alive. Yeah. So just think about that. Go listen to that episode, share it with somebody in Southern California that's a voter, or just like someone else that maybe knows someone, you know, like get the group chats rocking and rolling, because obviously we're talking top of the ticket, but there's other things going on. Very important. And circling back to the Veep stakes of all of the things, I do think like Bashir would be such a good, even keeled pick. But I just love PDB. And I know that would be probably unlikely. And I also love Shapiro. He doesn't present
gay though, as much, you know, so it's like, it could work.
Yeah, no, it's true. But I honestly, like, fuck it. There was this interview that Kamala did, and aka this clip that came out, and of just like being like, always people told me like I was too early for something, too young, too whatever. And you say, fuck it, let's do it. And I like kind of also like,
yeah,
you've got a fucking point.
I know. I mean, same with, so, like, I don't know. You know, when people really want Gretchen to be a VP, it's like, but they're like, no, two women. But it's like, How long are we going to say that for? Like, we're past due to have a woman president. So we might as well go balls to the wall.
The way that would be the best run fucking presidency of all time.
Can we also just think about how iconic that would be in the moment in history we are at, with just like men taking away our rights and all over the place and just being like, actually, no, sir.
Literally.
We're going to elect two women who want women to have basic health care and bodily autonomy. So I would just love that. But, you know, I'm open for a VP. I feel like regardless, they're going to make a good decision. And I'm just excited about Kamala, honestly. And I think people are. And it's just, I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free.
USA. USA. And
Kamala Harris is elected.
Which she will be in November. So text every single fucking person you know. And I think this is the thing I've been trying to do with my friends, because I know like they have just their own worries, anxieties. And I think it's just so built up of all of these like crazy years too, is making sure like they know like this shit's possible. Like we're looking at the numbers. We're looking at the math. We're looking at the conversations happening. We're looking at all these different dynamics that are so clear. Like don't be the person that's like, we can't have like the Debbie Downer that then brings it all down. Like you could really be that person, like in your own friend group, that's the messenger of that. Like, I don't think it'll happen. And then meanwhile, three of your friends then don't show up to vote because they feel like, Jessica said, because of course it's a Jessica, no offense, we have any Jessica listeners. Like, you know, it can't be done. Like, let's like not focus on that it can't, and let's just fucking do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. To get out of our own way. Like,
totally. Text a friend, text a family member. I've had this hot take where I've been saying a lot that like, I think we have the easiest opponent of literally all time, and that like anyone could be him, Samantha and I included. And we unfortunately put someone up who I thought would be the person who could lose to him. Joe Biden, unfortunately, love you, but like, sorry.
Amen.
But we've actually not only changed paths in like just putting anyone else better up there, but we put up someone who is one of the best people we could have actually put up there. So we absolutely can win. It's very hopeful. It's very positive right now. Again, we have to see after the Kamala honeymoon stage, like what happens and where people land, but I'm optimistic. And also in your friend group, like, don't be the person that's like, I don't really like her. Like, seriously, I'm so fucking over people saying that. It's such horse shit. And again, just look deeper and think, hey, why don't I like her?
And you know what? I think like that's important to do regardless, like whether it's her or somebody else, like anytime you don't like someone, you're allowed to not like someone for valid reasons, right? But like genuinely like take that like second, like really like check
and do it on the opposite. Why do you like her?
Nope. Right. But like, I think that's like an important, just like critical thinking thing. And also of like knowing yourself. And if there is a fault within yourself, that is okay. But like know it, learn it, and then work to fix it.
Yeah. And start like watching if you're not sure, and maybe even in a place where you're like, I don't know if she's the best person. I don't know if she can win. Just start watching her. Watch her speeches. Tune in and tap in. Don't like just say that and then don't expose yourself to her to actually let her show you. Let her earn it. Let her show you. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. She's great.
C-SPAN has been doing a lot of coverage of her on TikTok, like in terms of like her speeches. So like, even if you're like, okay, I just want to like kind of, as much as we love the noise, because again, it's changing like how we speak about things. If you really just want to like hear like from what she's saying, like go there, listen to the clips, listen to the speeches. A lot of times they're like live streamed, YouTube, all of the things. So like there are ways to do it. I also did promise on her story the other day that I would do a essentially debrief of her book that I read, the later book of hers, which was just phenomenal and highly recommend. However, that book is several states away from me right now.
Well, I would say let's get into this episode, but that's actually our episode today. We do not have an interview this week. We will next week, but we just wanted to come on and make sure we debriefed.
Yeah.
The craziest fucking thing maybe to ever happen in an election cycle.
You guys can blame my bad flight schedule of like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, totally. Blame Samantha.
Sorry. I have one more thing, and that is just with everything, and I know we already hinted at this with Will Rollins' episode, but now we're excited. There's other candidates on the ballot that we also need to make sure we're giving attention to and eyes to, because it's all connected. Like us giving attention to an amazing congressional candidate or state, like that has the top of the ticket and vice versa. And it's just important to know about these people, share their races, make sure people are turning up for all of the above. So go check our library. We have a bunch of them. Can I recommend Colin Allred? Like, let's get Ted Cruz out of a job. Like, see you later. I think so. Think about, you know, some of those options. Let us know, too, if there is a candidate out there, Democrat, you're like, we would love to get Petit. We would love to hear from them. Let us know. Let us know. Yeah. And we've got some good ones coming up. So
have a lovely week. Relish in this moment. And we'll talk to you next week.
Woo.
Toodles.
Toodles. Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.